Hi, I'm Sean Sweeney of SpeechTechie.com and Smart Ears Apps recently, and I hope you enjoy this edition of Nightlight Stories.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on March 4th, 2012. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mel.
Miss Mel, I know I'm a little bit late, but I wanted to wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, you know it's Valentine's Day, right? With an N.
No, isn't it Valentine's with an M?
Huh. It's true what they say. You do learn something new every day.
Well, I'm the one learning that it isn't Valentine's.
Yes, and I'm learning that even a trained speech pathologist can hear the words wrong.
I admit I do make mistakes, but only once a year.
Haha, very funny.
So then I do have another question for you.
What is it?
Is it clementine or clementine?
The little orange-looking fruit?
Yeah.
It's a clementine. It rhymes with Valentine. Speaking of clementine, that's the name of the main character in our new story. As you listen to the story, consider the following. How do you keep your room clean and organized? Clementine's Big Mess by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Clementine was in a panic. His quiver was missing. He couldn't find it anywhere. Being Cupid meant shooting arrows filled with love into the hearts of the lonely. He kept those magical arrows in a golden quiver that he usually kept slung across his back. However, this morning when he woke up and began to get ready for another busy day of romantic archery, he couldn't find it anywhere. It and all of the arrows inside were gone. If he couldn't find it, how would he ever be able to help people fall in love? He thought that if he retraced his flight from the night before, he would be sure to find it. He had glided in through the front window, ate a piece of chocolate, washed his face in the bathroom, dropped his bow and sash by his bed, and then plopped himself down for a good night's rest. But he couldn't remember where he had left his quiver. Clementine flew to the heart-shaped window at the front of his abode and looked all around. Nothing. He whizzed into the kitchen to look into the cabinet with the chocolate. Not there either. He darted into the bathroom, searching in the medicine cabinet, under the sink, and even behind the toilet. Once again, his quiver wasn't there. Then he flitted to his bedroom, only to find that it was a disaster area. There was a pile of red socks with tiny white hearts on them right by his bed. A half-licked heart-shaped sucker was stuck to the ear of a giant teddy bear. Hundreds of pink and crimson cards were strewn around the floor. A stack of boxes, each filled with chocolate, had toppled over to spill out into a heap. Streams of ribbons and bows were draped over everything, making the room look like the aftermath of a great party. Dozens of roses were spread across the floor, petals falling off into tiny piles. Clementine looked around, took a deep breath in, and let out a long, dramatic sigh. Everything was there except his quiver. Discouraged, he flew outside for a bit of fresh air and to clear his head. He needed help. But who could he ask? Who did he know who could help him find lost things? Peter! That's who! Peter was an expert at hiding things. It stood to reason that if he was good at finding hiding spots, then he'd be just as good at finding spots where things were hidden. Clementine flapped his wings excitedly, speeding toward the Cottontail Corporation. He got to Peter's factory in a jiffy. It was almost spring, which meant Peter's factory was in full swing. A conveyor belt wound around the factory floor, filled with eggs in various stages of development. Mechanical arms worked at a number of stations to complete different jobs. One station dipped white eggs into a random vat of colored paint. The next blew the eggs dry before passing it along to the detailing device. There, the eggs were spun like a top, given dots or dashes or wavy lines of bright color. Once prepared, the final station placed them in cartons for basket packaging. There was also other assembly lines putting together baskets, stamping out chocolate bunnies, and filling up plastic-colored eggs with jelly beans. The operation worked flawlessly without a single straw of Easter grass out of place. Clementine wondered how Peter kept everything running so smoothly. "Hello! I didn't expect to see you! What an excellent surprise!" Peter yelled, noticing Clementine admiring the machinery. "Hi, Peter," Clementine replied, his cheeks flushing red. "I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I know Easter's on its way. I just had a quick question."
"Go ahead," Peter said, hopping over to greet his friend. "I'll be more than happy to help if I can."
"I've lost my quiver. I remember bringing it home with me last night, but I can't find it anywhere. I was thinking since you hide things professionally, you might be able to give me a clue as to where to look."
"Sure I can. I leave eggs all over the place. The children run to find them all. You know which ones they have the hardest time finding? The ones that I leave right out in the open. I think they don't expect me to, so they don't see the ones that are right under their noses. Have you looked in the obvious places? You know, a coat rack, on your sofa, or maybe on the kitchen table?"
"That's a good point, but I'm sure I checked everywhere. I retraced my flight this morning and didn't see it. I checked all the usual places, but to be honest, I do have a big mess going on right now. I should probably be more organized like you," Clementine said, gesturing to the synchronicity of the operating machines.
"Me? Organized?" Peter said, twitching his whiskers. "This is nothing. You should see Chris's workshop. Talk about organized. I don't think that guy has misplaced a single delivery in all of eternity. Say, you know, you should go ask him for help. He's bound to have an idea. He might even be able to spare a few of his team to help you search. They can't be all that busy this time of year." Clementine wrapped his tiny arms around Peter, squeezed, and said, "That's a great idea. I'm off to the North Pole." Then he took off into the clouds.
"Hello there," Santa bellowed as Clementine soared into the workshop. "What a sweet surprise this is."
Clementine looked around at Santa's workshop, amazed by the similarities to the factory floor at the Cottontail Corporation. Like Peter's factory, Santa's workshop had a conveyor belt that weaved back and forth. At intervals along the way, stations were set up where elves could wrap, label, and sort presents. These stations, however, were empty, with no elves to be seen.
"How are you, Chris?" Clementine asked. "Hey, where is everybody?"
"I'm grand, my boy, simply grand. We're all on vacation here. The elves are on spring break, and I'm taking it easy myself, working on a little something special for the missus. Now, what can I do for you? By the look on your face, you don't seem very jolly."
"I was wondering if you could help me," Clementine asked, hovering over Santa's workbench.
"Sure, my dear boy, what do you need?"
"I've lost my quiver and arrows. You always handle so many presents each year. Has there ever been a time that you've lost one and couldn't find it?"
"Let me think now," Santa said, leaning back in his chair and stroking his fluffy white beard. "Well, there was that one time, but that didn't really count as lost, just put in the wrong pile. Let me see. No, I can't say that I have. You see, we have 7 very large special areas, one for where each present is being delivered. 7 areas for 7 continents, you see. Of course, Antarctica is a very small area, but that's beside the point. Then, within those areas, we have smaller sections, each corresponding to different regions of that continent. This way, we keep every present nice and organized, based on where it needs to go. Perhaps what you need, my boy, is a place to keep everything."
"Oh, I have a place for where all my things are supposed to go," said Clementine, cheeks blushing with embarrassment. "It's just that, well, with Valentine's Day just last week,
Well, I was tired, working late, and I let things go. Not everything made it back into its designated place. Everything is sort of a big mess right now.
A big mess, you say? Santa chuckled. Well, then, you know who you need to talk to, don't ya? The leprechauns are expert mess makers. They'll be able to help you for sure.
That's a great idea, Clementine shouted. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome, my boy. Now, before you go, can you do me a quick favor?
Of course. What is it, Chris?
Give Mrs. C a kiss on the cheek for me before you go. She'll be in the kitchen. And be sure to help yourself to some sugar cookies.
Clementine delivered his kiss and shot off toward the end of the rainbow, cookie in hand. It was a long flight with lots of turns, loops, and hidden passages. Once he got there, he wished he had brought his sunglasses. All the shiny gold made it very bright. Lorkin, the head leprechaun, caught sight of Clementine as he came in for a landing.
"Me laddie! To what do we owe this pleasure of a visit?"
"Lorkin! I know your big day is coming soon, so I won't take up too much of your time. I'm in quite a pickle."
"Ah, come set your wee bottom on this here toadstool and join me for a cup of tea."
Lorkin snapped his fingers twice, and two steaming cups appeared on the mushroom in front of Clementine.
"Now, what seems to be the trouble, me lad?"
"I've lost my quiver with all of my arrows," Clementine explained before taking a sip of the Earl Grey.
"Your arrows you used to spread the love, ain't that right now?"
Lorkin asked.
"Exactly. I try to keep things in order, but this Valentine's Day was even more hectic than usual. My place is a wreck. I came in last night, set my quiver down, and now it's gone. I thought maybe you could help me because you and the other leprechauns are good at making messes."
"Yeah, laddie, that we are. Our job, of course. But just because we're good at making a mess don't mean we're experts at cleaning 'em up."
Clementine's wings drooped in disappointment. "So you don't have any ideas for where I could find my lost quiver?"
"I didn't say that, now did I? I might be having an idea,"
Lorkin said with a grin.
"When we make messes, we take things out of their spots. We move things from their usual spots to different ones. You see where I'm going with this, don't you, laddie? Once we've skedaddled, it's up to the wee ones to put their things back where they belong. It sounds to me like that might be the solution to your problem there, bucko."
Clementine blinked in amazement. He couldn't believe an idea so simple hadn't occurred to him.
"Yes!" he shouted. "Go put everything back in its spot. Then I'll know if they are truly lost or just masked by my big mess."
"Now you're on to it, laddie. May the wind be at your back and the luck of the Eilish be with ya."
"Thank you so much, Lorkin,"
Clementine said, lifting off his mushroom seat. "Oh, and could I make one more request? Could you maybe skip my house this year?"
"Ah, you couldn't be that lucky, me boy. Not that lucky by a long shot,"
Lorkin said with a wink. Clementine flapped his tiny white wings as fast as he could, excited about his new plan. When he got home, he wasted no time. The roses went out into the greenhouses. Then he came back in and spooled all the ribbon onto giant spindles. Then he peeled the lollipop off the teddy bear's ear and threw it in the trash. The bear went into the laundry along with the rose-colored socks. Clementine stacked the chocolate boxes back into one pile and then carried them into the pantry, safe and sound. He placed his bow on the hook next to his bed. Finally, he sorted all the cards by size, put them into boxes, and then stored them in his closet, ready to use next year. The last item in his room that wasn't in its proper place was his sash. He fluttered down to pick it up off the floor when he noticed a golden shimmer coming from underneath. Clementine reached out and pulled his sash to the side, revealing a glimmering quiver of magical arrows. Clementine twirled in the air in excitement, shouting, "Yippee! I found it!" Then he bent over, picked it up, and strapped it onto his back, right where it belonged.
We We hope you enjoyed the story. We'd like to send out bright birthday wishes to Joe, Uncle John, and Don F., all from Texas, Jax, Karen L., Krista S., Ellie, Patty, Kevin, and Colin, all from Massachusetts, Tim, Juniper, Andy, and Lila, all from New York, Yvonne U. from Pennsylvania, Patrick B. from Illinois, Jen N. from California, Evan from West Virginia, and Miss Sally from Virginia. We would also like to send out a special thanks to our friend Sean Sweeney for doing a bumper for us at the beginning of the story. Sean is a speech pathologist in Boston, Massachusetts. You can find him over at his blog filled with valuable resources to enhance students' learning at www.speechtechie.com. As always, we look forward to the many stories and clean rooms we can share together.